Okay. Great, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be with you. I'll put the PowerPoint on in just a moment. And it's lovely to share this time of fellowship with you. And from what Janice and I observe, you are doing wonderfully well in the absence of Tony and Ruth. Oh, that's here. Yeah. And I understand that Tony and Ruth are having a good time. I think you've had some pictures of them sunning themselves in New Zealand, so it's good for them, and I'm sure it's good for you. And I just had conversations with John and with Tony and hear that you're doing really well, so that's fantastic. And it's a joy just to be here to share God's word with you today. I'm just going to pop the PowerPoint on if I can work out your computer. It's all gone a bit dead on me. Gotcha. Thank you, Neil. Okay, I want to share something with you this morning that is appropriate to all of us. And we're just going to look at the word together and seek to bring some encouragement that we can all relate to in our own personal lives. The antidote to discouragement is what I'm calling what I want to share with you this morning. Every one of us struggles with discouragement. It happens from time to time, and it often seems that Christians get particularly struck with discouragement, because it's the only way often that God can teach us about faith and trusting in Him. I've found in my Christian life that I learn more about trusting God through the difficult times than the good times. It's great to go away to a conference and to be built up and to be encouraged, but it's when you kind of come down into the valley from that sort of mountain place of wonderful experience that you then learn about trusting God. And it seems that God at times allows us to go through periods of discouragement so that He can teach us about faith and build our faith and trust in Him. I once heard a pastor described discouragement as the devil's can opener, because he opens us up with discouragement and then seeks to pour out all our faith and hope and trust and everything that we have within us concerning our relationship with God. And some of the greatest men and women in the Bible faced huge times of discouragement. So you and I are in good company, because some of the great saints of old went through deep, deep times of discouragement. Let me just give you a little bit of a definition. Okay, discouragement is a loss of confidence or enthusiasm. It's dispiritedness. It's to be deprived of courage. And in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew language, the word discourage literally means to cut down. It was spoken of in a harvest context. So when they would go out to gather in the harvest, they would cut down the sheaves of corn and bundle them up. And that was the word that was used in terms of cutting down. It means to discourage. So I want us to go to the book of Numbers. And I'm going to read from Numbers 21. And we'll just read a few verses out of there. I'll put it up on the screen as well for you. So Numbers 21 and verse 4, it says, "Then the people of Israel set out from Mount Hor, taking the road to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the soul of the people became discouraged because of the way, and they began to speak against God and Moses. 'Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die here in the wilderness?' they complained. 'There is nothing to eat here, nothing to drink. And we hate this horrible manna, heavenly bread.' So the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and many were bitten and died. Then the people came to Moses and cried out, "We have sinned against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take away the snakes." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to him, "Make a replica of a poisonous snake and attach it to a pole. All who are bitten will live if they simply look at it." So Moses made a snake out of bronze and attached it to a pole. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake could look at the bronze snake and be healed. That image of a snake being put up on a pole is significant because it represented a type of Jesus, where Jesus said, "If I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And as they looked at that serpent that was on the pole, so they were healed. But that's not what we're looking at particularly this morning, because I want us to look at that line where it says the soul of the people became discouraged because of the way. Here the people of Israel are on a journey. They're on their journey from 430 years of slavery in Egypt. And God has miraculously delivered them from Egypt, and they're now on their journey into the land that God had promised their forefathers. And it was a time of excitement, but also on that journey, they were frequently discouraged. At this particular time, there was no water. Other times, they met people who were hostile to them. There were times when there were rebels within their own ranks, and there were people who were ungrateful, and they thought the grass was greener back in Egypt. And they said to Moses at times, "Take us back to Egypt. We'd rather be back in slavery and have a place to die than to be in this wilderness where we've got nothing." And so there were moments of deep, deep discouragement that they faced as they journeyed towards the land that God had promised them. The Christian life, you and I know, is a journey. From the moment we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ to the moment we stand in his presence and get this wonderful mention that Tony was just talking about, in between those two points, the Christian life is a journey. And we continue to journey by faith. We continue to walk by faith and put our faith and trust in God and seek to live out the truth of his word as we go through this journey. We are like pilgrims on the Christian journey of faith and trust in God. But on that journey, we are tested. On that journey, we are tempted. We are discouraged. Our faith is proved over and over again. Peter talks about the testing of our faith when he says, "So be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is more precious than gold. So when your faith remains strong through the many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." Every time your faith is tested, it gets stronger and purer and richer and deeper. Paul says something else. He says, "Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Amen. Now, we don't suffer persecution like some Christians do in some parts of the world. But nevertheless, times of discouragement and testing will come on this journey of faith. And John, he writes and he says, "Every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world." So he recognized the power of our faith and how that through testing, our faith becomes stronger and it can cause us to triumph again and again. Now, discouragement often comes when people disappoint us, when people let us down, when people don't keep the promise or they decide to walk away and no longer journey with us. And here in the experience of these people of Israel, they somehow felt that Moses was letting them down. He'd led them out of their slavery in Egypt, and now they were in a barren place. There was no food, there was no water, and it was all miserable. And they'd followed his leadership, but they got to a point where they felt, Moses, you've let us down. And they begin to murmur and complain because they become deeply discouraged. You and I go through times like that. We feel people let us down. We feel people don't keep their word, and we get down and discouraged. And sometimes you feel, well, I'm going to go and find another church because, well, I just don't feel people are here. And you know, you can often think the grass is greener somewhere else. But I want to tell you, in 48 years of ministry and pastoral work, no church is better than another. If you find the perfect church, don't go and join it because it won't be perfect any longer. Every church goes through its testing times. Every Christian goes through those moments when we're tried and we're tested. Why? Because the devil does not like the church of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how big or how small it is, whenever there are a gathering of people who commit themselves to serving Jesus Christ, Satan will be on their case because he wants to do everything he can to defeat the church of Jesus Christ. But I've got good news. He will never win. Because Jesus said, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will never be able to stop it from happening. And if you pick up news of what's going on around the world, there are some amazing things happening in the world today where the church of Jesus Christ is flourishing, it's growing, it's expanding, and people are turning to Jesus all the time. His church is constantly increasing and growing, and Jesus said it will never ever stop. The church of Jesus Christ is unstoppable. But what can we learn from this passage? What is the antidote to discouragement? How do we handle it when we face it? Okay, let's look at a few things together. The first thing I want us to understand is this. We need to know that God has got a plan for your life and for my life. Bible says in Psalm, every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. That is the sovereignty of God. And I want to say to you this morning that you are not an accident going somewhere to happen. I've sometimes met people and they say, well, my parents made a mistake. I wasn't supposed to be born. That is not true. None of us are accidents. God has a sovereign plan and purpose for each and every single one of us. David, the psalmist, again said, the Lord will work out his plans for my life. God's got plans for your life. God's got a purpose for your life. God has a destiny for each and every one of us. The Job, he was somebody in the Bible who probably suffered more discouragement than anybody else. If you've read the book of Job recently, you will know all that that man suffered, and yet he dared to continue to trust and believe in God no matter what he went through. And Job said this, for the life of every living thing is in his hand, God's hand, and the breath of every human being. He knew that he could trust totally in God, that God was in control, that God had a plan and purpose for his life despite the discouragement that he was facing. And the people of Israel here in the book of Numbers, God had a plan for them despite their discouraging circumstances. God had good plans and good purposes for their lives. And I want to remind you this morning that whatever discouragement we may face in life, none of it is ever a surprise to God. He knows all about it before we face it. He knows about those difficult circumstances before they even come our way. Why? Because he's God. And he knows everything. Nothing happens to us outside of his purpose for our lives. If it did, he wouldn't be God. The Apostle Paul gives us some further advice when he says in Ephesians chapter 1, and I love this from the Message Bible, he says, long before God laid down the earth's foundations, he had us in mind. He settled on us as the focus of his love to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift giving by the hand of his beloved Son. You see, you and I can handle discouragement when we know that we are accepted and that God is in control of our lives. Job said, God, you control my destiny. And you and I, in those moments of discouragement, if we just focus on the fact that God is in control of my life, God has got a plan for my life, and he will not let anything happen to me that's outside his plan and purpose for my life. So that's the first thing we need to understand. Second thing that helps us deal with discouragement is to know that God's word cannot fail. Amen. You know that, but we all need reminding of it in moments of discouragement. And Isaiah says, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. We live in times where people have replaced truth with values. We hear a lot talked about today about values. But the problem with values is that they change. You see, there was a time in my life, quite a number of years ago, when I used to value going to Burger King and McDonald's. But I no longer value it because I don't think it's particularly healthy. I used to take the children when they were tiny and they loved it. We occasionally take the grandkids now. But it is not the first choice for Janice and myself. And you and I, you can all think of times like that. You see, values are things that change. What you value today, you might not value tomorrow. See, most people value coffee today. Coffee is the cultural thing. But I don't think it'll be here forever. Something else we'll start to value as the place to meet and eat and drink and have times together. What you value today, you might not value tomorrow. In the early part of the last century, 1900s, most people valued moral integrity. Until the 1960s, when the promiscuous society suddenly burst forth, and morality suddenly became less valued across society. Truth, unlike values, does not change. Truth is the truth because it's true. And Jesus told a story to help us to understand the difference between values and truth. There were two men who wanted homes by the seaside. And one of them decided to build his house right on the beach so that when he got up in the morning, he could just run down the beach and have a swim. The other guy built his up on the cliff top on the rock. And they had their two homes. And one day a big, big storm arose. And you know the story, the guy who had his house on the sand, well, it was just washed away. And the guy who had his house built on the rock, it stood firm. And Jesus told us that story to understand the importance of the word of God. He said, those who build their lives upon my word, those who put their faith and trust in what I say, are like the man who built his house upon the rock. Rock represents truth. Sand represents values. The sand is always moving. The sand is always shifting. The sand is not a solid foundation for anything. But you and I know that the rock is always a firm foundation. And Jesus likened his word to building our lives upon the rock. That's why it's incredibly important that we read the word of God day by day. I believe it is. It's been a habit of Janice's and my life all the way through our lives. Because the word of God is that sure foundation. The word of God will never pass away. It stands forever. And as the word of God is within me, so it strengthens me to face those times of discouragement. God's word to Israel was, trust me. God's word to Israel was to believe in the word that he had given them, that he was going to take them into a land of promise. But in those moments of discouragement, they decided to doubt his word. God's word is there to strengthen us and to enable us to come through victorious again and again and again. Let me remind you of some of the things that God says that are there just to strengthen us and to know that his word cannot fail. God says, if I am for you, who can be against you? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So whatever fate I face, whatever circumstances come my way, whatever difficulties I might face in a world that constantly changes, Jesus always remains the same, and I can totally trust and rely upon him. Jesus said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. God said that in the Old Testament to the people of Israel on their journey. I will not abandon you. I will not fail you. I will be with you. But in times of discouragement, they doubted it. Scripture says, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. It also says, with God, all things are possible. By grace, we have been saved, says the scripture. And it also tells us, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. They're just a few scriptures that are there to encourage us to put our faith and trust in God's word, knowing it will not fail and it will sustain us when we go through times of discouragement and difficulty. Let me turn you to just a few passages in the Old Testament. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31. This is coming towards the end of Moses' life. And in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6, this is Moses just talking about the journey that they've been going on, and the moment is coming when Joshua is going to take over the leadership because Moses is now 120 years old. And he says in verse 2, I'm now 120 years old and I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has told me you will cross the Jordan River, but the Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy all the nations living there, and you will take possession of the land. Joshua will lead you across the river, just as the Lord promised. And the Lord will destroy the nations living in the land, just as he destroyed Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites. And the Lord will hand over to you the people who live there, and you must deal with them as I have commanded you. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. These were some of the last words of Moses. And then if you go just a couple of pages on into Joshua chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1, here's Joshua now. He's stepped up. He's taken over the leadership responsibility because Moses has died. And in Joshua 1 verse 8 and 9, God says, he instructs Joshua, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, and you will be sure to obey everything I have commanded you. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Here is further promise. I'll turn you just to one other in the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah 41 and verse 10. I love this verse. God simply says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Ravi Zacharias is a Christian apologist, great preacher and teacher, and he said this: one of the greatest failures of our generation is not living out the biblical precepts which we so clearly articulate. You see, very often we know these truths. We've sung about them this morning. We gather every Sunday and we sing these wonderful truths about who God is, what he's able to do, how wonderful he is. We know it all. We articulate it. But often we don't live it out in the difficult moments. And God's word is there to strengthen me and to give me power, not in the great good times, but in the challenging times when the enemy is there to rob me of my faith and courage. And God spoke to several people in the scriptures. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. I will be with you. I am for you. I will lead you. The same message God gave over and over again, and he gives the same message to you and to me. Don't be afraid. Do not be discouraged. I am with you. Some of you may be going through really discouraging times today. God's word is to you. I'm with you. I've got a plan for your life. My word will not fail you. Put your trust in me and I will bring you through. One final thing that enables us to have an antidote in those times of discouragement is simply this: to know that courage comes from faith and fellowship. Courage comes from faith and fellowship. In Hebrews it says, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. Well, it's always called today, isn't it? Every day we call today. And so there's a responsibility given to us to be encouragers. To be discouraged is to have no courage. Okay, you can connect the word. So we have a responsibility to be putting courage into one another on a daily basis. We all carry this responsibility to look out for each other. Now, this might mean sending somebody a text. It might mean writing a card to somebody. It might be making a phone call, saying, let's meet this week for coffee together. It might mean doing some other activity together, but it's going out of our way to connect with one another to be an encouragement. You and I know those people who we like to be with because they encourage us, don't we? And then we know those people who are not so encouraging. But all of us have the responsibility to be encouragers. When you are discouraged, you've lost your courage. And we all have those moments where we've lost our courage and we need someone to come alongside and say, come on, keep going. You can do this. You can come through. God is with you. His word will not fail. He's got a plan for your life. And we need one another. And that's why the writer in the Hebrews says, come on, we've got to encourage each other every single day. Because the Christian life is about a journey, but it's not about a solo journey. We journey together. That's what fellowship is all about. I once heard a preacher when I was a boy saying that fellowship is fellows in the same ship. And it's what it is. We're in this together. And therefore we need to be encouraging one another on a daily basis. Have you ever seen geese flying in this kind of V formation? And there are certain geese that they fly many, many thousands of kilometers when they're migrating. But scientists have done research into the geese. It's quite interesting what they do, because they select a strong one to lead at the head. And often the strong ones can cope with the turbulence and the others kind of perhaps just follow in the slipstream. And then after a while, they rotate. So the one that's been leading, he or she will drop back and another strong one will go ahead and take the lead for a time as they're travelling these great distances. But the scientists discover that they do something else, that geese honk. And as they're flying along, that they honk to encourage the leader to keep going. You've heard them. We need to honk at each other on a weekly basis. Maybe God wants you to honk at somebody this week. You know, come on, keep going. I know you're going through a difficult time, but I'm with you. I'm standing with you. I want to strengthen you. I want to support you. And we need to encourage one another to keep going, particularly when perhaps it gets a little bit tough, a little bit difficult. So you get news of someone who's not well. Somebody was mentioned this morning. It's important maybe to pay a visit or to send a message or to make a call. Those words can mean so much when we just speak a kind and a loving word and says, I'm praying for you. I'm standing with you. I'm believing God is going to help you. There was a woman in the New Testament who had been sick for 12 years at least. She couldn't stop hemorrhaging. She spent all the money she had going to doctors and nothing would seem to sort out her problem. And then one day Jesus was in her neighborhood, and she just said, if I can just touch the garment that he's wearing, I believe I can be healed. And she pushed through very nervously, and she reached out and she touched his garment, and instantly she is healed of her condition. Jesus turns around and says, somebody touched me. And of course the disciples said, Jesus, that's a bit crazy. There's loads of people around you, nudging you, jostling. But Jesus said, no, somebody touched me. Power went from my body. And this little woman comes trembling and she confesses. And Jesus says this to her, daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well. You see, our faith has incredible power. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, it will move a mountain. Amen. He was speaking metaphorically, but he was just trying to help us to understand the power of faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Our faith is an encouraging, strengthening, empowering faith. And the people of Israel on their journey had to have faith for every day. They needed to encourage one another every day so that they could keep journeying to eventually reach the land that God had promised them. You see, courage comes when we stay in touch with one another. This woman pressed through and she touched Jesus. We have to stay in touch with him, but we have to stay in touch with one another so that we can be filled with courage to continue to journey and to walk by faith. One final verse that comes from the writer to the Hebrews, and he simply says this: let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. That was spoken 2,000 years ago, and they believed Jesus' return was pretty close. Well, it's even closer now in our day and generation. But we need to be those that continue to encourage one another, to motivate one another, to spur one another on as we journey and walk with Jesus day by day. I want you just to turn to the person next to you and simply look at them and simply say this: I need you and you need me. Will you tell the person next to you? Because that's the truth of the Church of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, he took the analogy of the human body and said, just as every part in the human body needs the other part to function, so it is the church. We are a body. And we need one another. And I just want to encourage you to go out of your way every day this week to encourage somebody. Can you do that? There's a challenge. To be an encourager. There is so much that discourages us. It's around us all the time. You open the newspaper and there's always discouraging things. You hear it on the news. There is so much out there that's a discouragement. We need to be counterculture and to be those that encourage people in the Word of God, in the way of God, and in the plan and purpose that God has got for each and every one of our lives. Can we stand together as we just end this morning? I want to pray. And if any of you would like personal prayer, Janice and I would be very happy to pray with you afterwards. But maybe some of you are just finding it's a bit tough at the moment. Maybe the journey is discouraging. I want to tell you this morning, God is with you. God is for you. He's working out his plans and purposes in your life. And even though it might be hard, he says, I will not fail you. I will be with you. When you walk through the valley, I will be with you. When you face the storm, I will be there with you. Remember Jesus in the boat with the disciples? When the storm arose, he was there. He didn't leave them. And that's our God. He knows all about the discouraging circumstances you face. He knows the things that you're carrying that are painful and hurtful. But he's with you and he will enable you to come through by the power of his word. So Jesus, we want to thank you for your word that teaches us how to live our lives day by day, that teaches us how to trust you in every situation. And we thank you, Lord, for the power of our faith. Lord, we bless you that it's by faith that we can move mountains. We thank you, Father, that it is by faith in the name of Jesus Christ that we are saved. We thank you, Lord, that all things are possible to them that believe. God, this faith is incredibly powerful. We thank you that as we journey in our faith and trust in you, you walk with us. And you've said, I will never, ever leave you. I will never abandon you. Lord, I pray for folks here this morning who are perhaps going through times of discouragement. Lord, I pray that their faith will be strengthened. And I pray that we will be aware of the needs of each other and come alongside and encourage one another daily so that we will run together in the power and the strength of your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.